Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk, I'm going to interview David a little bit, talking about one of his, well, his very first Division I umpiring softball game as a three-man. So in a previous episode, we talked about his experience at a camp and some of his other previous three-man experience or three-person experience. But today we're going to talk about him getting assigned to a D1 game. So I think in the episode we talked about camp, you talked about, you know, you weren't ready to go work in Alabama, LSU, or Florida game or something like that with three men on television. What's the context of the assignment? How did you get it? So people can understand this was not you working a television game necessarily or things like that.
Right. Really good point. A television game, you know, with the streaming that we have today, you know, they might not be syndicated on television, but they're just about all recorded and you can see them. So you got to be really careful about that, and we can talk a little bit about my mentor's view of that situation. Mm-hmm. But so how it happened was it's fall, and the D1 school was playing a fall doubleheader on a Sunday. And for whatever reason, I'm not even sure what the reason was. It was a fairly last minute change. And so I got the call and said, "Hey, what are you doing on Sunday?" I'm like, "Well, I'm supposed to be working three-man for free, you know, here in Central Ohio, you're doing some inner squads for one of the schools here, but getting a hold of some, you know, other umpires and saying, hey, let's get some three-man in." And my assigner said, "Well, no, you're not doing that for free anymore. You've got a real assignment. By the way, it's D1, so get your butt over there and get ready." So that's how I got the job, and was very excited. And, you know, who would turn that down? I look back at it today, and after having a conversation with Mike about it, you know, it's like, well, it was awful early, you know, in my career to get a three-person game, you know, having just come from from my very first three-person camp and not worked any college three-person games for real, live, mm-hmm. kind of thing. It's like, oh, that's awful dangerous. If you're not good, what if you're not in the right spot? What if you needed to be rotated to third as the plate umpire and you weren't there to make the call? You know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, those things could happen. Those things actually do happen, and they do happen even to some of the experienced umpires where just the game situations like, oh crap, you know, they got stuck somewhere, or sometimes they just forget. So like, yeah, something happened in the game and they just forget and they don't get there. Thankfully, that didn't happen to me. You know, what you don't want to do is get the Division I coach to say, "That guy's a moke, don't have them there
anymore. Yeah, never work,
you
know, my game again.
Don't let that guy work my games anymore." You don't want that. I'm pretty sure we're not going to have that situation from my game. Didn't do everything perfect, of course, but I don't think I did a bad job at it. So it was definitely interesting, you know, getting the call and then finding out who my partners were. And of course, I had to get hooked into that assigner's, you know, assigning platform, get on their roster so that I could get the game assignment, so that I could fill out all the paperwork, get the W-9, get all of that stuff done. So I got that done and then found out who my partners were, reached out to them, you know, to do a little pre-game for the pre-game, you know, if you will, see if there was anything that particular assigner likes to see. We talked a little bit about how Bill Gamalek, you know, has a preference for where you stand when you're in the U3 rotated. You know, is there anything like that? How do you guys feel about chasing? What do we do about chasing? You know, that kind of thing. So got some of that information and then just met them at the field on Sunday about an hour and 15 minutes before game time.
Awesome. So then what happened in the game? Where did you start positionally in the first game?
Yeah, so I started at U1 right out of the gate. The young lady hits a triple on the second pitch. So I've got to get hustled down to the plate. Got a nice push from U3. Did some yelling across the diamond at me and saying, "Hey, get there. So like, this is me running, dude. Getting a little more experience about, you know, how to make that rotation on a clear triple, because it was definitely right center field, no chase, clear triple. I mean, it's going to be like, oh, she's going three easy, right? And so, you know, what does that look like? And so how I did it that first time, that's not what it looks like, right? So I was slow, you know, on getting it done.
So why slow? So was it recognizing? Was it finding your way to navigate around the player and, you know, let her pass while running down, or running which path to take? What was the part that was the thing that is consideration that you'll change for next time?
Yeah, so, and I actually did get to change it, because that was not the only triple of the only no chase triple of the game. So I did get to fix it. But yeah, it has to do with, you know, the primary responsibility, make darn sure But, well, first of all, make sure you're not chasing. And so it was over my head, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's not, it's not a trouble ball. It's not close to the fair foul line. Nobody on, not a chase scenario. So figure that out. Second, make sure that she touches first base. That's, you know, my responsibility. Make sure she touches first base. And then third, you need to get outside and ready to parallel her when she commits to third base. The thing that I didn't do well that very first time, at, well, probably among other things, you know, if you were a very experienced umpire watching and trying to, you know, nitpick, you would find a whole bunch more. But the thing for me that I think was most impactful was that she had probably committed to third when she was halfway to second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she knew where the ball was. You know, the coach is calling her over to third. She was going, and they're fast.
Right? Yeah.
And so I didn't commit early enough to getting to the plate. And like I said, it kind of took a push from you three to say, hey, get there. Like, dude, yeah, don't lollygag. And so post game, I did talk with my crew about it and verified that the right way is when she commits to third, you want to parallel her down the first baseline. As she's headed to third, you're headed to home, you know, so that you get home when she gets to third. And so if you're going to do that when they are 2.6 seconds between, you know, they run that 60 feet in 2.6 seconds. I don't.
Yeah, you're about 2.7, 2.8. Just 2.9,
you know, on a good day, or, you know, 4.9 on a good day, right? So, no, you got to get your butt down there. And so that was the probably my first quote-unquote mistake or thing that I needed feedback on, for sure. And then I had another situation also as you won when you three chased, and it became a two-man situation, and the plate umpire, fantastic umpire, both of them were great. Plate umpire being a fantastic umpire, just about every time the ball was hitting the outfield, he was standing almost in the pitcher circle. I mean, he was out from behind the plate, no question, and he was out there quickly.
Yeah.
And very vocal, very loud, like, and startled me once. I'm like, why are you yelling at me? What are you yelling? Why are you yelling? And he was yelling two person, which is kind of a new thing for me, right? You don't hear that a lot. And I was expecting two man, if anything, right? Which is not accurate. He did it right. I'm saying my expectation was wrong, but it confused me for a moment as I'm already in a situation where it's like, oh, I don't have the habits built yet that I need to have. So I'm thinking everything through, which makes me slow, right? And now he's yelling at me. And he wasn't yelling at me. He was yelling, but not at me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was communicating
with me. That's right. Exactly. And so it was like, ah, you know, that got me a little bit. And then post game on that one, I was doing a standard two person where I was letting the batter runner get in front of me. And then I was going to cut in behind her because, again, you know, the ball went over my right shoulder. And he's like, no. Or I'm sorry. That's not true. The ball was in left field. My bad. Ball was in left field. That's why we had a U3 chase. And so I shouldn't have been doing the standard get inside and get to the leading edge. I should have stayed out, rimmed the play, and got in front of the runner. Something I talked a little bit about in our last episode about going to camp.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between working a two-person game and what happens in that situation where you've got a clear double, clearly a person going to second base, and a three-person game that turned two person because you three chased, you handle those a little differently. And I should have stayed out and rimmed and been out there. So that was one of the first things that I got. So actually the second thing I got. So the first one was get your butt to home plate, you know, faster. And then the second one is that. And then there was a third thing that I got confused because a really good friend of mine, an umpire friend of mine, was working a summer game with us last year, staying set. So a base umpire staying in the set position when you have runners on base until the runner gets back to the bag.
Mm-hmm.
The book will tell you that that is the appropriate thing to do if you are on the line. Stay set and watch for things like obstruction, and, you know, watch for the next thing to happen.
Yeah.
But if you're on the field, you're not staying set. You're working between pitches just like I was expected to do. So I was allowed to have myself talked out of working between pitches. Walk the girl back to the base because there might be a throw, right? And in this Division I game, yeah, that catcher had a rifle and she threw the ball and we had a close play and I'm 18 feet away, set.
Yeah.
I made the right call. I could see everything, but that's pretty lucky, you know, that nobody got in my way. I wasn't close enough. I wasn't, you know, and so that one didn't even wait till after the post game. That one was a, hey, come see me, you know, in between innings. And so I went in and got my correction and said, yeah, we'll look it up. And he even said, oh, we'll look that one up because, you know, I do remember it saying something about staying set. And I'm like, yeah, it's uncomfortable for me. I want to work between pitches. I want to get a good But so I was kind of talked out of that. So we looked it up in the manual. And the stay set part is while you're on the line. When you're on the field, though, in three person, you work between pitches, work her back to the base, you know, get a good unobstructed view of a possible play there. So and then the other thing, when I would say this too, know your teams.
Right? Yeah.
They are, if she's got a rocket of an arm, we always watch the throwdown. You know, that's kind of, you're standing in between, your in between innings positioning puts you out there at second base. You know, mm-hmm. So U1 is the extended line from third to second, and U3 is the extended line from first to second in the outfield. So you're standing right there. You watch this rocket come in there, and you're like, ooh, you better make note of that. Because if there's somebody at second and they're getting big leadoffs, we're looking at a back pick situation here. You might want to have that impact your starting position if you're rotated or kind of rotated onto the field, right, as U1.
Yeah. And that's, I think that says something too. I like that piece of the story about the people you mentioned. They're both good umpires, both experienced umpires. But they were willing to, even after they gave you that feedback, and first of all, they gave it to you quickly and, you know, to continue so that it could affect the game in a positive way. But then when you presented, you know, some just discussion about it, they were willing to go to the book and look it up. And You guys together got the right answer between games.
Yeah, exactly. And that's super important, I believe, for everybody to do. There's, you know, just working summertime, I'll throw Mike under the bus here a little bit. Working summertime tournament, Mike came back from the World Series. So this was probably three summers ago, maybe two. Might have been the one Linda went out with them. But anyway, two or three summers ago, Mike came back and there was a situation on a field. And so Mike's being UIC, right? And he's riding in the cart with Todd. And I pull up and we're talking about a possible rule thing. And Mike's like, well, who's got the book? I'm like, well, so I got the big ones out, you know, because I had them printed 8.5 by 11, you know, When I started helping the UIC stuff. And so we got the book out and we're reading the book right there. This is Mike Burwell we're talking about. So you got to get in the book. So get in the book, you know, and especially the mechanics manual, because that's, you know, rules always make sense. You know, they're baseball, softball, they're similar. They're very similar about fairness and about that kind of thing. It's pretty easy to figure out rules. Mechanics manual, very experienced people put together these things for very good reasons that you might not know yet.
Right.
So get in the book and learn the book. And then the fact that these experienced umpires were like, oh yeah, what does that say? That's, yeah, a testament to get in the book.
Yep.
And they change it. So there's that.
So in between games, you guys switched up. Where did you move to for your second game?
So I played at the second game. Had a really cool post game after the first one because I had gotten some of that feedback during the game. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we were able to look that up in the manual and then just kind of talk about some more specifics, you know, about trying to fine tune, trying to get better, and then talking about those habits and working habits and stuff like that. So I gave them some major props for communication. They were probably two of the best communicating umpires that I've ever worked a game with in the past, which is something that I struggle with some. It's hard to do that. One of the things too, let me go back just a little bit about communication. Once you actually get it, once you know what you're doing, one of the plate umpires at the clinic that I was at, who was a very experienced umpire, when U1 chased, the responsibilities for tag ups changed. So now we're two person. So three person tag ups are different than two person tag ups in some situations. Mm-hmm. And so when U1 chased, the plate umpire ran up third, yelled two person, and then yelled, I've got the tag at whatever the base was. And I'm like, dude, that is some serious communication. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I would never do that. I mean, I would love to, but I'm not fast enough yet. I don't have the habits built. I don't have the, you know, so I would just be thinking about, oh crap, my job just changed, you know, so I'm going to pay attention to that. And then the communication's going to come later. So it's going to come from more experience. So anyway, communication's a big one too. So we talked about that in between games. And then, you know, we ate a fantastic lunch that was provided by the D1 school and got changed and did our pregame, which was pretty quick. Because, you know, we'd already done the pregame for game one. And then I was in my element then. I'm in my comfortable place now. Of all the three-person games that I've worked, not college ones, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about that. This is my first college, real college three-person game. Of all the USA three-person games I've worked, that's where I work them. You know, so I've worked, I had to look it up. I've worked 28 three-person games in my entire career, now 29. And of those 28 games, 24 of them were on the plate. Those are three-person games. So I haven't worked bases hardly at all. And so, but the plate is that's my comfortable place. And the only major differences in college three-person than USA three-person is that coverage at first base, if U1 chases and nobody's on, mm-hmm. or coverage at first base if there's two outs and U1 chases and a runner at first. So the only real difference is there. The coverage at third, you know, that's an easy one for me. And in my book learning, it was easy for me to remember nobody on and I've got third. Or person at first, person at third. With the person at third, I'm going to make sure they touch the plate, and then I've got third. Get your butt up there. So that one's pretty easy for me. Probably the hardest thing, and it's the same in two-person as well, there's no holding zone on the third baseline. You're either going to third, or the holding zone's out on the field.
Yeah.
So get your butt on the field, or go to third. You know, it's one of those two things. So once you have that down, pretty easy. So I had a decent plate game. I dropped two pitches, no question.
Didn't you tell me that you said you dropped two pitches and your crew was like, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I said, so what kind of feedback do you guys have on my plate game? And, you know I dropped two pitches, but what do you guys have? And they're like, yeah, well, you dropped two pitches. I'm like, yeah, well, what else? And they're like, it was all good. We didn't have any rotations. We didn't have anything big or, you know, so no big problems. One point of clarification, though, that I actually had to look up after the game as well, they're using the wristband system now, the electronic wristband system. And in the NCAA, they can have the defense, all the defensive players can have them. And so the pitcher had one and the catcher has one. And so the pitcher kept having trouble with the thing. And she was probably getting in trouble timing wise for this fall ball tournament. They had asked us to just kind of watch it and then let them know.
Yeah.
So they didn't really want the
not so
the
strictly enforced.
Yeah. And so she might have been in trouble on the 20 seconds. I didn't have the timer. I wasn't ever U3, so I wasn't in charge of time. So, but anyway, so then they called time. The dugout called time and ran a new wristband, a new watch-looking thing out to the pitcher. And I'm like, is that a conference? We just had a suspension of play by non-player. So bench personnel just requested a suspension of play. We stopped playing. Is that a conference? And so if you look it up, actually, Rule 6 in the rule book, under 6-12-7-3-2. Yeah, this is the NCAA book. So 6-12-7-3-2, requesting a suspension of play in order to do things. There are exceptions that make these things not charged conferences. And then exception D as in David, for a defensive player to make an equipment change. So it's not a defensive conference make that equipment change. Yeah. Now I would say watch closely. If a coach comes out and brings the equipment and then stands there and talks for a while, we might have to either usher the coach off the field like, hey, get, or do you want this to be a conference? You know, pick,
yeah,
you know, type thing. But the equipment change in and of itself is not a charged conference. So back to the game, the post game from my plate game, pretty benign with two drop pitches. The funniest part was the U1 said, yeah, you actually even thought about that last one. I said, I did. I replayed it in my mind and then still came up with the wrong damn answer. You know, so girl had a really good drop curve, really good drop curve. And she'd been banging it the whole time she'd been pitching. Not the whole game because she wasn't, you know, that was a fall ball game. They did a lot of changes of the pitchers and stuff, but she was really close the whole time. And this one came in and it was a little bit low and a little bit outside. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, did that catch the, I think it caught the corner. So it took me a, you know, split second to evaluate the pitch again in my mind. And then I went, whew. And as soon as I did, I went, And Dad, he thought the same, whoever Dad was behind the fence on the plate. He didn't like it either. So he must have been the dad of the batter, not the dad of the pitcher. But as soon as I did it, I went, oh, yep, one. There's a drop pitch. It was actually drop pitch number two. So that was the second one that I dropped. And I believe the rest of them I got right. I'd love to see the other one that I think I might have dropped. I'd love to see it, you know, if we had it a bit able to be there and actually see the pitch. I'd like to see how bad it missed because I think it was really close, but I think I dropped it.
Awesome. So I think it's it. I think it's a good summary and good explanation of your first game, the Division I 3-man game there. And
yeah, and I got through it. You know, to Mike's point, you know, was it dangerous? Yeah, I think it might have been a little dangerous to have my first game be a D1 game, especially at a school that, you know, I can drive to, that you would hope would get on my roster at some point, you know, when I'm ready to do D1 ball for reals. Quote unquote, for reals. And, you know, it was a really good point that Mike made that says, you know, it might still be fall ball, but the coach is still the coach. And, you know, that coach is going to watch you and they're going to remember you.
Yeah, you had the opportunity to make an impression one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly. So made it through it. And then how do we fix this moving forward? It's, yeah, work more three person, but not sure how that happens in our current situation that we have. If you're a D3 and a JUCO umpire, you know, your only opportunity to work three person is the end of season conference tournament. And so what are you going to get, four games? So I got to get 5 years, 6 years, 8 years before I get 20 games under my belt. No, you can't do that. You just keep going to camps, keep working as much as you can three person and learn and get opportunities to do well. So very, very fortunate. I'm glad to have done it. Definitely a checkbox on the roadmap for what does David Trout want to do as an umpire. So first check mark.
Awesome. Congratulations on that though.
Yeah. Thanks.
And that's it. I think that wraps it up for this week.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, until next time.